Good afternoon.
Hey, would you take a second to introduce yourself to somebody you don't know that's around you? Now, promise them that you will not try to get in a special relationship with them until you become more sane. Promise that you won't try to get into a relationship with them until you get a little bit saner. Would you promise?
Promise.
You know, you might be cute, but you know you're deadly when you're not sane, right? That's what I know. All right, but what I want to do right now is make the transition. So I'd like to ask you to just take a moment, take a breath, relax, and remind yourself that you don't have to believe it, you don't have to accept it, you don't have to welcome it, you don't have to believe it, you don't have to welcome it, you don't have to accept it, you don't have to believe it, you don't have to welcome it, you don't have to accept it, you don't have to believe it, you don't have to believe it, you don't have to welcome it, you do not have to accept it. Some of it you're going to actively resist. Some of it you're going to actively resist. Some of it you're going to actively resist. Some of it you may find hard to believe. Some of it might seem hard to believe and even might startle you. Some of it might startle you. Some of the Course in Miracles may startle you and it may bring up resistance in you. Nobody's asking you to judge the ideas. 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 It's the use of the ideas that will give the ideas meaning to you and will show you that they're true. The use of the ideas will give the ideas meaning to you and will show you that it's true. Using the ideas will show you that the ideas are true. Using it will show you that it's true. There is nothing to fear. The meditation. There is nothing to fear. This states a fact. But it's nothing to fear is not a fact to those who believe in their fears. That there's nothing to fear is not a fact to those who believe in their fears. That there's nothing to fear is not a fact to those who believe in their fears. There is nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. It's very easy to recognize that there's nothing to fear. It's very easy to recognize that there's nothing to fear, but it's very hard to recognize there's nothing to fear for somebody who wants their fears and upsets to be true. It'll be hard to teach you that your fears are not real if you want them to be real. It'll be hard to teach you that your unhappiness is real. You want to let go of the idea that your unhappiness and your fear is real, and so you must be willing to go beyond and do that. You must be willing to let them go. So today's practice will be very short, very simple, and very frequent. Repeat the idea as often as possible. Repeat the idea as often as possible. Repeat the idea as often as possible. Do it with your eyes open. Do it with your eyes closed. Repeat the idea at any time. Repeat the idea in any situation. Take a minute. Close your eyes. Repeat the idea real slowly to yourself. If you become upset about something, use this idea very, very, very quickly. As soon as you get upset about something, tell yourself there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. The presence of fear is a sure sign that you're trusting in your own strength and separate from God's. The presence of fear is a sure sign that you are trusting in your own strength. The presence of fear is a sure sign that you're trusting in your own little ego, personal wisdom. The presence of fear is a sure sign that you're trusting in your strength. But if there is an awareness in you, if you have an awareness in you that there is nothing to fear, if you have an awareness in you that there is nothing to fear, if you have an awareness in you that there is nothing to fear, then that shows that somewhere in your mind, even though it might be somewhere that you don't actually realize yet, there's a part of you that has tapped into the power of God within you, the power of love within you, and you let the power of your Creator take the place of your weakness. When you feel there is nothing to fear, you have let the presence of love take its place in your awareness and replace any weakness that you may have. The instant that you're willing to let the love in you replace the fear in you, the minute you're willing to let the presence of your Creator be made conscious to you, when you're ready to make your connection with the source again, when you're through denying your connection with your source again, when you're tired of doing it all alone and you're ready to really join again, when you're ready to link up with the power that created you again, there will indeed be nothing to fear. There is 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 nothing to fear. I'm going to express myself in a variety of ways to get the point across. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, is that all right? Okay, I'm going to try to be more myself. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to try to practice what we're preaching around here. So I'm talking about being more authentic. I need to start with me. So we're going to be on page 76, on paragraph 7. In the Course in Miracles, page 76, paragraph 7. One of the questions that people have asked me a lot in 27 years of working with the Course is, how can you tell when you're listening to the Holy Spirit? How can you tell when you're listening to your guidance? And now I'm about to share with you what the Course in Miracles says. It says, the voice of the Holy Spirit doesn't command because it is incapable of arrogance. The voice of the Holy Spirit doesn't demand because it doesn't seek control. The voice of the Holy Spirit doesn't overcome because it doesn't attack. The voice of the Holy Spirit merely reminds. And so your inner guide is compelling only because of what it reminds you of. The Holy Spirit's voice, love's voice, brings to your mind the other way. Remaining quiet, even in the middle of the turmoil you might make. The voice for God, which is the voice for love in you, your inner guide is always quiet because the voice for love, the voice for God, speaks of peace. Peace is stronger than war because it heals. War is division, not increase. No one gains from strife. What profited a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? If you're listening to the wrong voice, you have lost sight of your soul. You cannot lose your soul. There's an inner James Brown in all of you. You cannot lose your soul, but you can not know it. So your soul is therefore lost to you until you choose right. Okay, so if it's a voice for love, let me get this straight. If it's coming from love, it's a voice that doesn't command, that's not demanding, that's not trying to control me, that's not trying to overcome me, and it's not trying to attack me. So someone that is loving you is not commanding you, they're not demanding of you, they're not trying to seek control of you, they're not trying to overcome you, and they're not trying to attack you. If they represent the voice for love. the reason why you listen to the voice of God, he says, the reason why you end up listening to your inner guidance is because your inner guidance is so compelling to you because of what your inner guidance is reminding you of. All of a sudden, you start listening to your guide because your guide is reminding you of the way it used to be before you became afraid and before you had any doubts and any fears. It's reminding you what love it really feels like, where we came from. So you really start listening to the loving voice because it becomes compelling because of what it's reminding you of. Let's say that I'm one voice in your ear and I'm saying, you're not enough, something's wrong with you, you need to change. As soon as you change, I'll be happy, something's wrong with you, you need to change, you need to be different, I don't like the way you think, you need to change the way you are. I demand and I'm commanding and I'm trying to control. Where are you going? You better call me back every second. You know, every second I'm trying to control you, and every now and then in extreme situations I'll smack you upside your freaking head if you don't act right. You know what I'm saying? I will attack you. Now I want to say to the group that if you're experiencing that from within yourself as well as from anybody else, they don't love you. They don't love you. Stop telling yourself that people that mistreat you love you. They're not expressing love for you if they're controlling you, attacking you, criticizing you, and always trying to manipulate you, always trying to make you change, and there's always something wrong with you. They don't love you. So cut it out. It's not complex. Relationships are not complex. They're just people who's not ready to be happy yet. Relationships are not complex. It's just people who are not ready to be happy yet. So they think they compromise. They always compromising on their joy and compromising on their happiness, accepting just a little bit of what they want, thinking that that's what love is, compromise. Love isn't compromise. You don't ever compromise about the fact that you deserve to be loved and treated right. There is no compromise about that, ever. I'm not talking about who's going to cook dinner tonight. That's not the level that we talk about in the course class. We're not talking about little human behavior issues. We're talking about waking up to who we really are, letting go of all pain forever, and joining with that which created us so we stop being afraid and start to have the blissful lives that we were created to have. Okay? So he says that the way you get there is you have to be reminded of the truth. And so what you want to understand is that the voice that loves you, the voice for God, is going to be compelling because of what it reminds you of. But the voice for God always stays quiet when you're in the middle of an upset. When you are, he says, whenever you are in turmoil, it remains quiet. But it always speaks of peace. And that we have to realize that if you listen to the wrong voice, you've lost sight of your soul. You've lost sight of your peace. You've lost sight of your power. You lost sight of loving yourself. When you're listening to the wrong voice, you don't think you're juicy, innocent, sweet, creative, and beautiful. When you're listening to the wrong voice, you don't believe that you deserve relationships that give you the kind of joy and peace and happiness that you deserve. When you're listening to the wrong voice, you think that there's lack and you think that there's not enough. When you listen to the wrong voice, you feel depressed, you hate. When you listen to the wrong voice, you'll be happy sometime. When you listen to the wrong voice, you will be happy sometime. When you listen to the wrong voice, you will be happy sometime. So the Course says that the Holy Spirit, like in paragraph 8, he says the Holy Spirit is your guide in choosing. The Holy Spirit is in the part of your mind that always speaks for the right choice, because there's a part of you that always speaks for God. So you have a part of you that is your remaining communication with God. So you have a communication with your Creator that you can interrupt, but you can't destroy. There's a connection between you and your Creator that you can interrupt, but you can't destroy. There's a love that you can interrupt, but you can't destroy. And he says, the Holy Spirit is the way in which God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven, and that heaven and earth are in you, because the call of both heaven and earth is in your mind. So the call for joy is in your mind, and the call for pain is in your mind. But there's a part of you that's still linked with the love that created you, that can bring the love and the peace and the power that you deserve into your life because it's your remaining communication link with God. So the course is saying, no matter what you think you've done, there's still a part of you that is connected to your source that loves you and is capable of bringing that love into your present life now. Okay? And you can interrupt the cool stuff, but you can't stop it from coming. Your good is going to get to you no matter how hard you try to screw it up. You don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. Because what created you loved you, and it loves you more than you love yourself, so it'll treat you better than you treat yourself. Because you think it's a limit on how much you deserve to receive depending on how good or bad you think you are. And there's something that loves you that doesn't judge you in terms of good and bad. It just loves you. I don't have to earn it. I'm sick of that love I gotta earn. Aren't you? I'm sick of it.
As long as you prove that you deserve it, I'm gonna give you my love. What the get you mean?
That's my enlightened spiritual answer. I told people, you're too hard. You're just too hard. I can't work this hard. As if you are, as if you're perfect. It's like, it's so funny. It's like I used to always come down to everybody and say, I'm perfect, so I can just be on your case all the time. You know God loves us, but we would have been zapped away from here a long time ago. Mankind, if it wasn't something to love us, mankind would be out of here. I love how in this movie called The Matrix, this intelligent android identified, called human mankind a virus. Just like viruses. They go into an area, they consume everything there is to be consumed, and then they just leave when there's nothing else left. And I went, wow, it is deep. We are kind of like viruses. We don't tend to leave things better than it was when we came. That's what viruses do. They consume everything and move on. So I don't want to be a virus. You know? And so even if I think I am a virus, there's something that loves me so much that it'll continue to love me and heal me until I don't think I'm a virus anymore. And it's going to pull me out of my fear by giving me stuff that's so good I can't even doubt that I'm loved. And that's how God gets rid of your fear. God gets rid of your fear by giving you so much joy that you can't be afraid because you're too free and happy. So you don't become happy by analyzing your past. You become happy by using the truth that you're learning right now, right now. Okay, use the truth that you're learning right now, right now. That's how, don't analyze your childhood one more time. Wasn't that cool? Nobody wants to hear about your childhood again. We all had one. Cool it. All of us know what it's like being children, so you don't have to make us aware. Okay? I'm just trying to let go of my self-absorption so I can be helped. You know, I think it's all about me. Why do we think that when nobody acts like it? It's amazing. It's not like it's a hidden truth principle. I will tell you a striking truth. Most people don't give a damn about you. And it ain't personal. They're just busy with their own delusion, trying to maintain their own universe, trying to handle their own fears and their own worries and their own family and their own. So you can really do anything you want to do, and 99% of the population wouldn't care. I guarantee you, you're freer than you realize. You're just a legend in your own mind. Okay. And me too. All right, so everything I say applies to me too, but it's just more fun when I say you. Okay, so the Course says, now, the voice for God comes from your own altars to God. These altars are not things, these altars are but devotion. So from a Course in Miracles perspective, an altar is a devotion. And so the Course is saying, right now you're devoted to something else other than your love. Right now you're devoted to something else other than God. Right now you're devoted to something else other than peace. And because you have two devotions to your peace and also to your conflict, the Course says that is giving you two voices. And so now you got to choose which altar you want to serve at. Now, are you going to serve at the altar of fear and the voice of the past and the voice of the world and all the stuff that you know doesn't work because you've tried it all your life? Or now, are you going to choose to listen to the voice that says you deserve to have power, freedom, abundance, love, companionship, unity, happiness? You got. I want y'all to decide which voice y'all want to serve. All right. Who would like to choose for the voice for potting like a big dog? Okay. However you define that. Okay. And who want to choose for the past? Funny eyes. No hands are up. Right. Okay. How can you tell which voice is which? What would the voice that loves you, what would it be saying to you?
The voice of
love. The voice of love, what would it be saying to you?
You're priceless. You're beautiful.
Yeah. What else would it say?
You are limited.
What would the voice that would love you, what would it say? Who would somebody that loves you say?
You're unstoppable.
In other words, the voice that loves you would always be supportive.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And what was the voice of fear? I know it's going to be hard for you to What was the voice that does not love you or was that's afraid of you and that wants to control you? What are some of the things that are
worthless? You're not getting it.
You're worthless. You're not good enough. You suck. Who do you think you are? Over here, I know y'all know too. What was the voice that didn't love you? What would it say? Especially when you're doing something you want to do. Yeah, you being selfish. Yeah. So we really do know the difference between the voice of love and the voice of fear, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, then why do we keep choosing the other voice? Why do we keep choosing the voice that we say we don't want to choose?
We forget.
Okay, so that means it's basically a problem with remembering.
Right.
All right, so then that means that to be each other's savior, we would have to assume the role of being willing to remind each other of what we forget, which is what we deserve to have, which is love. So if I'm your savior, if I'm your right partner, if I'm your right friend, then I'm a constant reminder of the love and the happy life you deserve. Is that right?
Right.
So then I become compelling because of what I'm reminding you of. Right? I'm letting you know there's another way. There's another way you can be, and there's another way I want you to be. That's what the Course says. That's how you can tell when your guidance is talking to you, because it'll be compelling, because it's reminding you of the way that you've forgotten about while you're afraid and angry. So you know how to tell the difference between when you're being spoken to by God and when you're being spoken to by your past. We always say God doesn't exist, but God does exist. God is the truth and existence of God for yourself is the easiest thing in the world to do. All you have to do is obey the conditions for knowing God. Like the condition for knowing me in this hour would be for the person to come to this room. Is that right?
Yeah.
But if they didn't want to come to this room, they couldn't be with me physically in this hour. Is that right? Yeah. Does that mean I don't exist because they're not willing to obey the rules to see me?
Nope.
Well, the same thing is true with God. As soon as you obey the rules, you'll see God, the love, the peace, and all the abundance that you want. But it ain't showing up until you meet his conditions. And you have to know what the conditions are before you can even try to meet them, right?
Right.
So I need to be willing to admit, I don't know how to make me happy. I don't know how to make me happy. As a matter of fact, if I'm attracted to somebody, I go the other way. I go the other way. Why? Because I know the results of my previous choices. And they all started with, I'm attracted. There's not a relationship that I'm trying to forget today that didn't start with me. So why should all of a sudden my attractions be right? Just because it's a 2007 attraction, that means it's right, don't it? Because I'm more enlightened than I used to be. I can make better choices than I used to. But the truth is, I didn't change my script. I just changed the person I wanted to give it to.
Yeah.
I haven't changed. I'm still looking for something out or somebody outside of myself to make me happy. And I haven't really changed until I stopped that.
Yeah.
As long as I'm doing that, I haven't changed. I don't care how many different people I go to. If I'm looking for them to make me happy, I got the same script going, so I haven't changed my mind. I'm going to have the same pattern I had before. And then if I'm attracted to you, why am I attracted to you? Why did I choose you out of everybody in the room? Obviously, you remind me of somebody from the past and something that I think I want to get. It's in the package I want it in. I didn't come to you to give. I came to you to get. I just got to look like I'm trying to give so I can get. Is this 200? Is this 200 of spiritual aspirants? I can't wait to do that advanced mind training. It's fair. I've got stuff. They'll be diving out the window. They're flying through the ceiling. People going to be driving out, go back and see some of my students bust out the door. Woo!
I'm ready for advanced mind training. I'm ready.
It's so good. Oh, God. So, he says, your divided devotion is giving you two voices, so you must choose at the altar you want to serve, right?
Right.
He said, the call you answer now is an evaluation because the call you answer now is a decision. Okay. The decision is what? Who can tell me what the next two words say?
Very simple.
What'd you say, Bonnie?
Very.
The decision is what?
Very.
The decision is what?
Very.
The decision is what?
Very.
Okay, but the decision is made on the basis of what call is worth the most for you.
Yeah.
It's a simple decision. You're going to make a decision based on which one of the voices you're hearing is worth the most to you.
Yeah.
If I believe more in my unworthiness, then I'm naturally going to give more value to the voice that's saying I'm not enough. So I'm going to make the decision, the simple decision, to choose that one because it's the one that has the most appeal to me based on who I think I am. So decisions are simple. You make all your decisions based on your value system, and your value system determines the choices you make. Boom! That's the end of this hard to make a decision. You always make a decision for what you value the most. And your life is a reflection of what you value the most. And as soon as you recognize that, then you can change it any way you want it to be. But as long as you think your life is the result of anything other than your decisions, you're denying your power. Your one remaining freedom in this world is the power of decision. And you're denying that power by denying that you're the one that's creating what you're perceiving right now. So claim that power so you can then decide for the voice that wants you to be healed. But I didn't call that. That wasn't my decision. Hey, what you talking about? Then that means you are a creator of time. And you will have all the time you need to change your mind. That's where time comes from.
Yeah.
Time was made so that those of us who don't want to accept the truth would have time to work it out. Eternity never changed. What is eternal is forever, and it never changes. So eternity is love, and love always is. We took a detour into fear. We was like chugging right along, and then all of a sudden we had a thought, and then we gave that thought too much meaning, and that's any thought that would make us feel afraid. And before we knew it, we had detoured off into our fear. Forgot we were creators, so we started creating everything we feared. And then so that we wouldn't realize that we were the ones doing it, we blamed everybody else. And then that keeps you in the illusion forever and ever and ever. So there are beings that are like part of you that's like going towards the love, enjoying everything, moving right along. It's got a big old smile, feeling really good. I just can't hardly wait to just feel so great that I'm just happy. Right? And it's moving right along, and then there's another part of you that's looping. Let's see now. Who is that?
Yeah.
Which one is going through the same things over and over? Which part is going through the same things over and over again, but trying to make it look like it's different because it has different names and different people in different places? And so it's afraid, and it's continually examining its fear, and it's over in its fear, and it's blaming for its fear. So it's kind of like stalk, kind of like a little thunderstorm or a hurricane or something. You know, that's what their life look like a thunderstorm, like a tornado, you know?
Okay.
And so what's cool, though, is while this part of you is over here delaying and thinking thoughts about yourself that's not necessarily true and being angry and thinking about the past and all that good stuff and all the changes you wish everybody else would do, this other part of you is still creating love. Just chilling around. Love everybody.
And then this other part of you is over here going, it's your fault. 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 So this over there in the mid thing, it's turning. They're going to everybody's like, woo, 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 woo. It's your fault. 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 And the stuff is spinning around. It's all drunk and dead. So when that part of you is in, you're so really funny. It thinks it knows. This part thinks it just gets back and goes, let me judge if that's correct.
Wow.
But the cool part is that when you get through, the part of you that's been creating love for you, it's got all that love waiting for you. Gathering interest. So when you finally decide to love yourself the way the universe loves you, then you'll find that you haven't lost anything and your real self was creating for you cool stuff all the time. You were going into the detail of fear and depression and worry. That's what the Course teaches. That's loving. That's almost incomprehensible to me. It's too loving. You know? So the Course says the decision is very simple. It's made on the basis of what? Which call is worth more to you? Woo! I thought I had lost my cap and I was worried about it. But it was on the end of the pin. That's what's happening with you.
Sure.
You're like the person looking for their glasses and it's on their face.
Okay.
Everything that you think is missing is all around you, but you're so busy listening to the wrong voice and therefore seeing according to the wrong voice and then hanging out with other people that are seeing according to the wrong voice that you actually think it's true. So you're telling me all the reasons why your lack is real, why your pain is real, why your sadness is real. Why? Because I experienced it. I can see it. Did you see it? You know? And the truth is, I'm seeing it because I believe in it so much because this was the voice that I listened to all my life. This is the voice I believed in. And now my life is reflecting the voice that I have valued the most.
Wow.
So you can't use your present situation to judge the truth or falsity of what I'm telling you today because your present situation is there just because of other such nouns just like this that you made decisions in. So you can't use that as proof that your life can't be better. Because you're just looking at what you used to do and the results of it. So don't, because I'm saying this, compare what I'm saying to what you made when you weren't thinking like this. You know, I wasn't thinking like this, but I'm comparing what you're saying to what I created, not thinking like this to judge whether or not what you're saying is true.
Yeah.
That's just like trying to be this idealized self version of yourself that's just an image that you're trying to live up to. I mean, how can you live up to an image that doesn't exist? So every image you make of yourself is like a false idol that you worship because it really doesn't exist except in your mind. So you're not really being yourself until you be who you are now. That's the real you, the you here now. So that's the one you got to use to let your cool stuff come in by giving it through it right now. Like right now. I have a very bashful child side of me that people never believe when I say it's there. But I had to choose to go beyond that part of me to give myself a different reality. You follow what I'm saying? It's like I had to use my present body to get over it. Walk out here and say, hey, I'm Earl Purdy and start teaching this class. I had to use my body in a new way and not let my old voice direct what I would do or I would come in here the way I used to when I was a child, which was on my hands and knees. Because I was too bashful to stand up, so I would crawl around the baseboard out of the room. So I can bring him back. He's still in me. I can call on him anytime I get ready to. It's a choice that I don't choose to use that fearful part of myself, and it's got to be a choice that you don't choose to use the self that's not getting you off. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to help you. That thrilled you, didn't it?
Yeah.
Now, you know, that's the voice that seems more worthy, right? And so I'm willing to do the same thing for you. We don't know how many car accidents we just avoided. How many car accidents we just avoided. See, if you're doing this right, you can't really tell. Because you don't know how many bad things didn't happen to you. You know what I mean? It's like we just extended more love out into our experience, so we therefore are going to create more safety for ourselves. That's cool, man. That's cool. It didn't cost us anything. Well, the love offering. I tried to hug Excel and it didn't fly. Okay. So the next paragraph.
Got 5 minutes before we do something else. So we can kind of bring it home. Pass this around, please, sir. Trying to find out who's coming now.
I find that the students I have now are usually the ones that are here. It says, my mind will always be like yours. And imagine your God self, a spirit, or Jesus, or love saying this to you. It says, my mind will always be like yours because we were created as equals. Okay? But the reason I have more power than you was only because my decision gave me all power in heaven and earth. So my only gift to you is to help you make the same decision. See, that's what I'm here. Like, my only gift to you all is to support you in making the same decision for your peace that I'm making for my... Earl has made a decision for his peace, and I'm trying to support you in making the decision for your peace. Jesus is trying to support you in making the decision for your peace. And he says, this mind that we all share, it's unequivocal. And then the Course says, my only gift to you is to help you make the same decision. The decision is a choice to share the decision, because the decision is the decision to share. In other words, how can I tell I made the decision to really be peaceful and happy? Because I'll be trying to share peace and happiness with everybody else. That's how you can tell that Earl is, like you say, well, how sincere is Earl? Well, Earl is as sincere as his decision to share what he's talking about. Earl is as sincere as his decision to practice what he's saying to you right now on you. So you can tell when you've made the decision for real, because when you really made a decision, then you're doing the thing that you just made the decision to do. So until you're doing the thing that you made the decision to do, you haven't made the decision to do it. Until you're doing the thing that you made the decision to do, like you make the choice to do something, well, until you do what you chose to do, you haven't chosen it.
Right.
So to say you made a decision and you're staying in the same situation is a lie.
Yeah.
If you're still thinking the same way, but you say you made a decision, the truth is, when you really make the decision, he says you'll make the decision to share, and you make that decision by giving, and so giving is the one choice that truly resembles true creation. How can I tell when I really am ready to have something? I'm going to be giving it. So I see these hours that I spend with you as 3 hours a week that I have an opportunity to devote as sincere as I can to give what I would like to receive regardless of your reactions to me. See, I get the gift no matter how you react. Isn't that great?
That's great.
You know, it's like, I can come in here and give you all the best I got to give. Now, you don't have to try to give me the best you have to give. That's up to you. That depends on how valuable you think that would be to you to do that. I think it's valuable for me to show you all how much I appreciate you, so I do it. So when somebody appreciates you, you can always tell because they appreciate you. No, it's rough. Don't let it blow your mind. Oh, it's deep, man. Because the hardest part about going to the truth is that moment when you realize that you have totally deceived yourself about everything and everyone. And that's a tough moment. When all of a sudden you go, oh my God, I really haven't experienced real love yet. And I haven't given it yet. So, oh my God, that might have something to do with why I'm not receiving it.
It's a really trippy moment. It's a freaky moment. All of a sudden you go, oh, I'm expecting everybody to give me what I'm not. Oh. And that's the moment of freedom. That's the moment of freedom. That's the moment that you change your whole life. That's the moment when everything turns around. That's the moment when everything starts to get easier in your life. Because then you realize it wasn't anybody else that was doing it to you, so you don't have to try to get them back. It wasn't your creator that was doing it to you, because your creator didn't have anything to do with that. So you can turn to your creator for the first time, because your creator is nothing like you made it up to be, and you were totally free. It's the best moment you could ever experience, is the moment when you take 100% responsibility for your experience of your life. That's the it's tough at first, because the blame in you wants to go, y'all know what I'm saying? The blame in you? And y'all got some blame in you? Got some blame in you. Don't you just love to blame? Come on, don't you just love to blame? Stop being nice and nice. Tell the truth. Don't you just love to blame? You know you do. If you get mad, you blame it.
Oh, yeah.
So don't sit up and tell me you never get angry. Get real. What you mean? I'm in control of my anger? I'm the one who made myself mad? I'm the one who gave myself the interpretation that made me feel bad? You mean it really wasn't them? It was what I told myself? Woo! It's the news! That's what you really hear. You go, what?
Me. Wait, just straight. They're not causing me to feel this way. I'm causing this. I'm not being denied because of my race, creed, color, and background. You mean my consciousness could change my whole reality? That God doesn't belong to the Ku Klux Klan?
I thought he did for a while. Got to be black to understand that one. Okay. Oh, really? Okay. We gotta be fun. It's gotta be fun being black people and white people. When we gonna start playing with this stuff and start taking it so serious? I'm like, the actor that's lost his mind. Now he really does think he's the character he's playing. That's us. Now I am the father. I am the mother. This is my job. Oh, my house. This is me. You would think somebody was nuts if you went down to the theater company and you saw the guy on stage and it was time for the play to end and he was still going, but I am Dracula. Y'all would say he was nuts, but get off it then. You more than what you're making yourself up to be, too.
Yeah, wow. Thank you.
Have a nice day.
You acknowledge yourself for this much. Lord have mercy.
I just love those light course classes, don't you? Sometimes if I do this right, you feel great. Sometimes when I do this right, you feel disoriented. And sometimes if I do this right, you feel slightly irritated. And sometimes just downright mad. And if you're experiencing any of those things, you're hearing me.
Woo! We're just blaming you.
That's right. Just blame me. Just blame me. Then I pass it on. That's what we do with blame. We just have to keep passing it on. You'll be all right. Don't let the blame stop at you. Well, it was your fault, but if it hadn't been for you, you know, that's what we do with, you know.
Yeah.
Blame Tachi. Oh, me, oh, my. Oh, me, let's think of something horrible so we can get back to our regular state. Anybody got a good global warming story?
Whenever I'm feeling good and I really want to pay for it, pass the thing. Overwarming. Okay. Now, it's not a joke. We're supposed to be serious about global warming. Guess what the side effect would be of us loving ourselves? We would take care of our environment. It would be an extension of our thought of love for ourselves to take care of everything around us in keeping with love and respect. It would all be healed if we started to love ourselves now. I noticed that when I started to love myself more, I started to become more conscious of my eating and how I would move or what I would do. It wasn't like I had to make myself do it like the old days. It's just, oh, I'm not my body. My body is temporary, so maybe I need to take care of it and care more about it. You know, it's like when you start to love yourself, all the rules that you make drop away because rules are just made for fearful minds. Loving minds don't need rules because they would never do anything to hurt each other. That's why we got a quadrillion laws. Isn't that the truth? The only reason why I'm not going to kill you is because I might go to the electric chair. Yeah. That's the way it works when you're full of fear. You need a rule to keep you from hurting somebody. That's why the more, the less love there is in a relationship, the more rules you got for each other. And if you really love each other and you want to move to a love, you'll keep those agreements as best you can. So that you can establish trust in yourself and honor your boundaries. That's a good thing. That's what you do on the way to not needing any. You know what I mean? So I've forgotten what feels natural sometimes. Haven't you? It's almost like sometimes we've forgotten what it's like not to be afraid, to completely trust, to not always look for somebody to screw you up over you before you think they'd be on your side. You know, you're not always walking around defensively. What I do in my class. Okay. So, I want to be like that. That's what I want to be like. And so to do that, I have to be whole within myself. Because if I'm whole within myself, I won't be trying to get anything from any of you. A whole person isn't trying to get. A whole person isn't trying to get. A whole person isn't trying to get. They're just so full. They just want to share their love and peace and joy and happiness. They just got too much. It's overflowing at the top of their cup. That's what they mean by overflowing happiness. It's so good, it just kind of seeps on to everybody else. But if you got a lot of lack and you fear there's not enough, then you're walking around and you're watching every little thing you got and every little person that's close to you trying to make sure that nobody else takes what's yours from you because you don't have enough. And it's easy to recognize people like that, you know. Mm-hmm. Whenever you're around somebody like that, you can always tell because they're always talking about what's missing. You can always tell when you're not around a giver because all they're talking about is what they lack. What they wish was there that's not. And then your job is to see them as more prosperous and wealthy and loved than they see themselves. That's your job. If you do that, your life will turn into bliss before your very eyes. Your job is don't agree with them in your mind, even though you don't say anything necessarily verbally. Because if you say something and they really believe they're not enough, they're going to argue with you about how they're really not enough, and so you get them to focus on it more than they were before they met you, helpful person.
That's right. Before you came along to help them, they was like on the road to recovery.
Wow. It'd be better to just think right about you.
Yeah.
Don't even get you involved.
Yeah. Wow.
But I can tell if it's okay for me to tell you. Your intuition is to know if it's okay to tell the person. Everything is easier than what we made it.
Yeah.
Everything is easier than what we made it. I'm going to break it to you. It's all easier than what we made it. So, I'm dealing with somebody that cool shows up. Like, I've had people walk up to me who didn't even know me from across the room and just say, you know what? I mean, female as well as male.
just, you know what? You look safe. You look like a loving person. I really want to connect with you. You'll be recognized. Like-minded beings recognize their own. So you don't have to worry about it. Okay? So Wednesday, 12 noon, is the next course class. Make yourself remember it. So that you know, because you invested in it. Something that's free like this, it's very easy to be taken for granted. You know, and I don't care. Yeah, it's going to be short like it was. Yeah, you bring stuff in. Yeah, because we're going to go. There's some new perceptions of relationship and other things, but especially I want to talk about. Because that seems to be the area where people cause themselves the most pain. And it's the easiest part to handle. So we're going to talk about that some too. But I really, this is a deep, in-depth study of the Course in Miracles and related material. In-depth, deep, deep. Yeah. So I'm available for one-on-one sessions and on my website, earlpurdy.com. And you can download them and stuff. You ready? Come to Unity Temple Church. Awesome, loving place. Yes. And I want you to just let this in to the best of your ability and just let it in. Yes. Doesn't other people's bodies feel good?
Yes.
Don't other bodies feel good?
Yes.
It's not anything guilty. Okay? It's innocent. It's innocent. It's all about what your purpose is.
There is nothing to fear. There
is nothing to fear. There is nothing to fear. There is nothing to fear. There is nothing to fear. Let me play my horn for you. You gotta let that child out sometimes. It's scary, but you have to let that child out sometimes, right? For one time, you go. I'll see you the next time.